The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big show for you today, but an even bigger show on Friday when we're live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I want you to join us. And it's our last show of the summer, so make sure you come out and you join us for that, okay? It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a great time. Live shows are always a blast. And if you miss out, you're going to miss out. You don't want to miss out. Now, the president was talking about his meetings coming up with Vladimir Putin. And by the way, I should mention, too, the reason why the founders, the framers of the Constitution, did not want D.C. to ever be a state is because they would have undue or extra influence over the federal government. They didn't want to create a special advantage. It's controlled by the feds, as I mentioned. It exists because of the feds, and it is controlled by the feds. Whereas the states created the federal government created the District of Columbia. And the District of Columbia, some of Maryland, some of Virginia, is completely governed by the feds. They decide how much power it gets. They decide how much power to take away. And this has been a seesaw that's been going on for a long, long time. But statehood, not going to happen. Not permitted by the Constitution, and not going to happen. That doesn't mean Democrats won't try. They will try, because it's a guaranteed blue state. Guaranteed, with a guaranteed blue member of the House and a guaranteed two blue senators. And most importantly, it's a guaranteed three electoral votes for Democrats who badly, badly need more electoral votes. So this is the issue and this is the problem. And this is why it should not be ever be a state, among other things, among other reasons. But the president talked about the meeting with Vladimir Putin. And this is going to happen in Alaska. It's going to be historic, no question about it. And this is cut number 9 from today's press conference at the White House. Take a listen.
I'm going in to speak to Vladimir Putin. And I'm going to be telling him, you got to end this war. You got to end it. And he wasn't going to mess with me. This war would have never happened. You know, we had a discussion about it one time, and we never had that discussion again. Would have never happened.
That's got to happen. It's got to happen. So, you know. Oh, I guess D.C., you know, I wasn't sure about that. Yeah, D.C. does have three electoral votes right now. They do give it votes. But it is limited to no more electors than the least populous state. All right, so that is not an issue then. They already get the three electoral votes. But the two U.S. senators is a very big deal. And I'll tell you why. Because the ultimate goal is total control of everything. And then they get rid of the filibuster. And you have two senators. And because the House is so tight, you have now a member of the House who actually votes. And then you tip that balance of power in a big, big way. And the two senators, though, being the key. You get rid of the filibuster. If you make D.C. a state, you make Puerto Rico a state, you have absolute control. You've got total control in the U.S. Senate. And without a filibuster to stop them, the Democrats could do whatever the hell they want. Even if the Republicans win the House and the White House, they have the Senate to block everything. That's their ultimate goal. It's always been their ultimate goal, no question about it. And they'd love to see that. All right, so the president continued on the meeting with Vladimir Putin, and he said he'll know within 2 minutes whether or not a deal can be reached. Cut 10.
Well, we're going to have a meeting with Vladimir Putin, and at the end of that meeting, probably in the first 2 minutes, I'll know exactly whether or not a deal can be
How
made.
How do you know that?
Because that's what I do. I make deals.
He also said that he will be meeting with Zelensky at some point as well. And they'll talk to Zelensky and they'll have a conversation with him at some point. Whether or not the three of them will sit down, whether they'll all sit down together, is going to depend. And the president made that point today and drilled home on that issue as well. But it's not going to be the kind of situation where I mean, I'm very optimistic that something can be done here and then something can be reached. I am. I'm optimistic because I think Russia economically is getting very, very hurt. And the president's putting pressure on countries that are buying Russian oil, India, for example. And it's just at some point this war has to end. You know, at some point this has to end. So as part of this control of D.C. now and this crackdown on what's going on here, Attorney General Pam Bondi started talking today. This is cut number six about what would happen and what's going to happen and the power that they'll be using. And again, this is not just the National Guard. These are other federal law enforcement partners that are going to be used. Any sane, rational human being on the planet would be very happy about this. But we're not dealing with sane, rational human beings. We're dealing with the mayor and the city council of Washington, D.C. Cut six.
Let me be crystal clear. Crime in D.C. is ending and ending today. We are going to use every power we have to fight criminals here. President, thank you for caring about our capital. Families come here every summer. Our museums are free. We have the National Zoo. We have the National Gallery. D.C. should be a place where everyone can come and feel safe. Behind me and to my side, we have some of the best career law enforcement and prosecutors in the country who are ready to take this on. As the president said, Terry Cole is going to be supervising the Metro Police Department. Gaddy Serralta, our U.S. Marshal, is going to be supervising command and control, the entire operation. Our Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, and I will be working with them closely, along with our great FBI Director, Kash Patel. Kash is going to talk to you in a minute about what we did in Virginia recently with Governor Youngkin. Many of you covered that, and it was tremendously successful. Not only that, our secret weapon here in D.C. is U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, one of the toughest prosecutors and a former judge, and she is going to be talking about juvenile crime, how it's out of control here, and what she's going to do to fight back. No more crime rampant in our beautiful capital. No more teenage girls beating a disabled man to death. No more of that. No more drive-bys. We're going to do everything we can. And working with the ATF, ATF Director Driscoll and Commander of the Army, we're going to all work together. That's what we all do in this room. We work together. We fight. Do not underestimate one person in this room. We're going to make D.C. beautiful. We're going to make D.C. safe again. One other thing, just at the wharf a few days ago, the area of the wharf, Terry Cole reached out to me, not even nightfall, on the weekend, where so many families and tourists go. A guy's overdosing from fentanyl on a park bench in the middle of families around. They administer Narcan and saved his life. No more of that. The president of the United States is going to clean up D.C., and we're going to be there to help him, and we're going to be successful. Thank you.
Nick.
So what do they do in Virginia anyway? And Governor Glenn Youngkin retweeted this. Point is, Youngkin was happy to have the help. Most people are. Most precincts, jurisdictions, local law enforcement, happy to have the help. They're overworked. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the budgets. D.C., 2 million hours a year of mandatory overtime. They got 950 empty slots in the police department. Most mayors would be saying, thank you. Thank you for the help. Not today's Democrat Party. No. But since Youngkin's a Republican and Youngkin has a brain, he can explain, and he appreciated it. And here's the FBI Director, Kash Patel, talking about how they worked together and they were able to do this and get it done. And the governor was very grateful and didn't feel like it was a military occupation. Cut number seven.
And how do we do it? And what are we going to bring to D.C.? What we did in Northern Virginia, thanks to Terry Cole and Governor Youngkin and the team, we stood up a task force out in my Northern Virginia field office, and we said, let's let good cops be cops. Let's get them the intelligence and what they need, and let's get the red tape out of their way, and let's get DOJ partnered up with us to bring great prosecutions. And that's exactly what we did. In 1 month, we arrested 545 violent felons. 545 in the state of Virginia, thanks to Governor Youngkin's partnership. And that simplicity in law enforcement is what's coming to Washington, D.C.
Pretty amazing. Let cops be cops. Let them do their job. And you have the National Guard there to assist them in other things so that the cops can go after the bad guys and chase the criminals. But most importantly, beyond all this, how do the people feel? What's the reaction like? Are the people happy? Of course they are. Here's some reactions. This is cut number 8. Some of the reactions after the announcement. Take a listen.
It's awesome that we have extra police presence to keep everybody safe and have them coming back.
Well, I guess they're going to stop the crime. Yeah, it's necessary.
A White House official says tourist attractions and other known hotspots are the top priorities, with MPD also joining this enforcement. We saw a number of MPD cruisers patrolling 8th Street, a Secret Service officer at Logan Circle, U.S. Park Police by the National Mall, and multiple MPD officers at Benning Road.
Now, that's called a deterrent presence. Their presence is there to deter criminals. But if you're Brian Schwab, the Attorney General of D.C., can't prosecute your way out of this mess. All right? This is exactly what I mean about the today's Democrat Party and the left. They believe criminals are the victims, and they are too busy trying to come up with all their theories of why people commit crimes, and they don't actually want to prosecute them. And they really don't believe you can prosecute your way out of this because they believe it's systemic. It's just America's racist systemic past catching up with it, or some other woke academic nonsense that they were either taught or opined about themselves in a classroom. Seriously. I mean, there are law schools around this country right now that teach this crap. There are even professors at law enforcement colleges, like John Jay and others around the country, that give criminal theory on what makes a person become a criminal. As I said to you, the average victim of a crime doesn't really give a flying you-know-what about why that person chose a life of crime. They just want the police to arrest them. Or they'd rather the crime not happen in the first place. They really don't care whether it's nature versus nurture, or it has to do with America's colonialist past. They just don't want to get mugged. It's not that complicated. Here's cut number 33.
During the discussion, residents did not hold back, voicing their frustrations.
Am I blaming the system?
Many questioning why kids aren't being held accountable.
We as a city and a community need to be much more focused on prevention and surrounding young people and their families with resources if we want to be safer in the long run. We cannot prosecute and arrest our
way out of this. What are the resources you want to surround them with, out of curiosity? I mean, we've tried the midnight basketball. We've tried all these things. I'm a big believer in getting kids involved in things, absolutely. But another way you deal with the problem of juveniles committing crime is you make an example out of them by locking them up if the crime's really serious. I'm not saying everybody belongs in the system. Sometimes the system can make things worse. But I think we all know the difference. The problem, though, is that as the head of the police union explained to Sandra Smith, they have to call and get permission before they can arrest a juvenile. And even if it's a heinous crime, 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. And then the feds can't touch it. No matter how bad the crime is, if it's a juvenile. And remember, we're talking about 17 years old here. We're not talking about like a 6-year-old who went into a store and grabbed some gum, didn't realize they weren't paying for it and committed, you know, they're technically shoplifting. Or like a 17-year-old committing a brutal crime is still a juvenile in the eyes of the law. Even if his birthday's the next day and we turn 18, that 17-year-old in D.C., the U.S. attorney has no access, can't get any access to those files. I mean, that's just insane. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Here's U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro. This is cut 36, explaining how criminals are protected, particularly if they are juvies. Take a listen.
Here's the problem. Assuming that they're 17 years older than 17 years old, I can get the case. If they're under 18 years of age, I can only get the case if it's murder, rob one, rape, or even if they shoot a gun but don't kill you, I can't get it. So the law has to be changed. As the president said, cashless bail. That has to be changed. All right, then even assuming I get the case, I get jurisdiction, I get a conviction, the D.C. council has given the judges the ability to give probation on shootings. And so then it's up to them. All of these things, the Youth Rehabilitation Incarceration Reduction Act, and now they want to seal records. So if we work hard, we get a conviction, they want to wipe it out. So that needs all to be changed.
Okay, Mr. Does any of that seem to make sense to you? Look, I'm not saying every kid who messes up needs to be in jail. I'm saying that prosecutorial discretion matters. But there are some who absolutely 100% need to be behind bars. Shootings? I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, kids do dumb things. But if you got a 16 or 17-year-old who shot somebody, you got to try him as an adult. You got a 16 or 17-year-old who raped somebody, you try him as an adult. This is different than putting toilet paper on someone's house on mischief night. I think we all know the difference because we have common sense. Let common sense lead the way in these matters. But when you tie the hands of the police and you tie the hands of the feds, and then you can't even use prosecutorial discretion because there's literally no prosecution, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And that's really what the head of the police union was getting at. They put so many of these woke laws in place, and a lot of them is to protect, you know, the kids from getting arrested. But there are a lot of bad 16 and 17-year-olds out there. There are a lot of very dangerous 16 and 17-year-olds out there. And I don't really think that just saying, oh, they're just a kid after they shot somebody is helpful to them or to society, but particularly to society, particularly to the neighborhood in which the shooting occurred. Not helpful, not in the least. No, they have made their jobs very, very difficult. They made the jobs of the police in that city very difficult. Here's MSNBC contributor Eddie Gloud having a typical meltdown, as you would imagine, after Trump announced plans to crack down on crime in D.C. I don't think Eddie has to worry about crime or anyone else on MSNBC or CNN for that matter. Cut 34.
Chris, to be honest with you, I'm trying to hold my temper. I think there's an ongoing argument that he's having in his head with Black Lives Matter. There's an ongoing argument that he's having with the questions around criminal justice reform and police reform. It's interesting that he really doesn't really care about what's actually happening in D.C. on a certain level, because he's not trying to get at the underlying root causes. He's not looking at examples of how to address rising crime rates that doesn't require a form of policing that leads to increased incarcerality and the like. Let's look at what's going on in Baltimore. Let's look at what's happening actually in places like Baltimore and Chicago, right? So part of what we have to do is to understand. And Oakland, we have to understand this, Chris, within the context of Donald Trump's racial politics and within the context of his effort to get Epstein off the front pages. I understand David's point. But when we try to treat this as a rational response, then we lose sight of the actual politics that's being played here. And he's actually trying to give his base red meat to get them off of the Epstein story. And it's on the backs of citizens in Washington, D.C. He's going to undermine the democratic process in the district.
Well, if your mind's off the Epstein story, it's going to be back on the Epstein story as soon as the House Oversight Committee starts bringing in people like Eric Holder and the Clintons. So your mind will be right back on the Epstein story. So this is a big old distraction from Jeffrey Epstein. You'll be undistracted come September because James Comer has sent out those subpoenas, and it culminates with the money shot of Bill Clinton. And that's a disgusting way to phrase that. Really, truly. Even I'm disgusted with myself for saying that. But yeah, that's the last one who's going to testify is Bill Clinton. So yeah, I mean, if he does, I don't think he will. But nevertheless, if your mind here on this Monday in August is distracted by Epstein, because the president has announced that he's cracking down on crime in D.C., you're about to get a whole undistracted really, really soon, because the House Oversight Committee is going to start their hearings on Jeffrey Epstein. But what is it? Is it a distraction from Epstein, or is it the fact that Trump's a racist and he's sending law enforcement to go crack down on crime in the nation's capital, where the crime victims are, for the most part, black and brown people? So in which case, then, he's actually trying to keep them safe from crime. So then I would think that's not what a racist would do. See, I'm confused. I mean, I think if you're racist and you've got criminals who are committing crimes mostly against black and brown people, as the left keeps calling people, because, you know, they have to make everybody into a crayon. Why would you care? Why would you give a damn? You wouldn't. You wouldn't spend federal resources on that. You'd be sending the feds into the posh white neighborhoods to make sure that their cars don't get jacked and that their homes don't get broken into. And then if that was the case, you'd have the left screaming about that. He doesn't care about the people in the poor neighborhoods. It's like they talk about not being able to win. And is Eddie suggesting that the criminals are all black? Is that what Eddie's suggesting? I mean, I'm just saying, because that kind of sounds racist. And if they are mostly black and brown, because, again, the left has to make everybody into a freaking Crayola color, should we not go after them then? I don't get that. We should only go after white criminals? I don't really get that either. I don't really think it matters. I think the only color they want to see is orange, as in them wearing it. All right. I'm wearing my Emmons Roofing and Siding shirt today. My buddy Matt Kelly gave me the shirt. Last time I saw him at our Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. They are great people. They're not only in the community, they're part of the community. They give back to the community. Emmons is the best. And when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind, well, it's paramount. Craftsmanship, paramount. Made in the USA, that's paramount too. Emmons has been my go-to contractor for over 12 years. 12 years. So the first thing they ever did for me was replace the roof in our old home. Then I said, wow, you guys did an amazing job. No surprise, they are the Owens Corning Platinum Certified. That's the highest designation you can have, which means that roof of yours is going to have a lifetime warranty on it. Then they did such a great job, I said, let's replace the windows. So the beautiful Anderson windows, made in America, beautiful stuff. Then I had them do some doors. Now in our new house, oh, and they also remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in our old house as well. Yes, Emmons has a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. If you are looking to upgrade your home with confidence and save 10% off. That's right. 10% off discount for each and every one of my listeners. All you have to do is just go to emmonsroofing.com and tell them I sent you. They serve a whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. They'll be there for you every step of the way, and you'll know you're getting the best craftsmanship around. I trust Emmons. I know them. They're good people. Local, family-owned company. That's what you get with Emmons. Trust and integrity are everything. So trust the company that I trust with my home. Two different homes over the course of 12 years. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, yeah. Welcome back. Glad you're here. I was reading a story about, let's see, you know, everybody's on those fat shots, the Ozempics and whatnot. Matt DeSantis, did you know that it's all the rage now, the fat shot?
Ozempic?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Everybody's using it. I mean, not me, but.
Me neither, but it's apparently everywhere. I read somewhere, well, they want it in the water supply.
Well, I thought you had to inject it. I didn't think you could just consume it. I thought it was via injection.
No, yeah, but this one doctor wrote a story about maybe it should be in the water supply. It's that good for you, apparently. But we can't even – I mean, fluoride in the water is controversial. Could you imagine if people started putting Wegovy in the water? Could you imagine?
Sounds expensive, too.
Yeah, it sounds like that'd be expensive. I would not want that. But an astonishing new trial suggests that Ozempic may help users not only drop pounds but also turn back time. In the first trial to directly measure the impact of semaglutide, is that how you say it? I think so. Is that the one, the commercial where all the fat people are running? Is that it? The tubby? Well,
yeah, I think you're right. They're having a great time, yeah.
Having a great time. Everybody's always having fun in drug commercials. Always. They talk about the side effects, but they never show you the person who's down in pain and with constipation. They're like, constipation may occur, but everybody's smiling and laughing. They don't show the guy who's constipated. It's, you know. Apparently, it reverses aging, but the real reason it reverses aging is just because you lose weight. Because when you're overweight, it puts such strain on your body. And excess fat around the body's organs promote the release of pro-aging molecules. Obesity causes low-grade chronic inflammation, which is when the body's natural chemical response to an irritant or injury remains active long after the threat has passed. So apparently this drug, these GLP-1 drugs, as they're called, directly reduce inflammation through weight loss. The meds can also activate specific T cells, which are white blood cells, key to the immune system, which can have anti-inflammatory effects to slow and reverse potentially the damage from being, say, a former fat kid, for example. There you go. Could you imagine if after all this time the Fountain of Youth was not, in fact, a fountain, but rather something you injected into your abdomen?
Certainly seems to have better odds, I would think. I don't imagine we're going to unearth a Fountain of Youth, but you can go get an Ozempic prescription.
Yeah, and if the Fountain of Youth turned out to be just a pool of Ozempic, then the question would begin, who invented it all the way back when? Was it Henry? Was it Cortez who was searching for the Fountain of Youth? Was it him? Was he the guy?
I don't remember.
That would make you think they were aliens then who invented it and then gave us that. There's a great joke at the end of Men in Black when they say the Viagrans are on the phone. They have a special gift for us. You remember that line? No? Anyway. So now the new thing is because all these people are on these drugs, they go to restaurants, and many of the portions at restaurants are huge. And so the people can't finish them. And so now many restaurants now have specific menus for those who are taking weight loss drugs. Ponce de Leon, Justin, thank you. Ponce de Leon was searching for the fountain. What was Cortez searching for anyway? Like a gold cross or something, right?
Yeah, I think he was searching for a gold cross.
A gold cross, but not just any old gold cross, was it? It was it wasn't like Gina from the Bronx's gold cross. It was like a real significant one, right?
It was like the was it called the Cross of Coronado? Or am I thinking something else?
Might have been that. But then, what was Coronado searching for? Oh man,
We're going down a rabbit hole here.
We really are. You just need to watch a Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. You'll figure it all out. So they have these restaurants now that are offering their teeny weeny mini meal for customers on the weight loss jabs. Among them is a restaurant in New York City called Clinton Hall. It's a craft beer and burger joint in New York. The bar introduced its teeny weeny mini meal, a bite-sized burger and fries alongside a small margarita, beer, or wine in April. If you're a guy and you go on a date and you order from the teeny weeny mini meal, you're going home alone. Or at least you should be going home alone. I'm sorry, but you should not, a woman should not want to go home with you at that point. If you're like, hi, can I have the teeny weeny mini meal burger, please? There's just nothing manly about that. I'm sorry. Nothing.
is this a bad time for me to endorse the tiny meal on the date? I feel like you don't want to end up a fat, bloated mess.
Well, then just don't eat too much.
Then you got leftovers. I don't think that's very manly either.
No, Jerry Seinfeld once said, if you're wrapping up food after a date, you might as well wrap up your genitals because you're not going to need them. You can't get a doggy bag on a date. But even if you are taking one of these drugs, I would suggest, if you're a bachelor on a date, I would suggest you order a steak like a man and you just don't eat the whole thing. Show some self-restraint versus giving me the teeny weeny mini meal, because it sounds like you have a teeny weeny you know what.
All right, I think you've stumbled upon the perfect date order. It's probably like a 12-ounce steak, but then just steer clear of the sides, because the steak's going to be manly, and then you're not going to get like bloated from the mac and cheese or like the mashed potatoes or french fries or anything.
Exactly. Yeah, so true. And if you go on a date and you sit there and you go, I have a steak, and she looks at you like, wow, this guy's a red-blooded American male. And then you go, and the mac and cheese and mashed potatoes? She's going, whoa. This guy's going to get fat as soon as we tie the knot. So, I'm just saying. They're worried as people's belts getting tighter, their wallets are also getting tighter. Well, that makes sense, too. They can charge less, I guess, for the teeny weeny. What is it again? The teeny weeny mini menu? Teeny weeny mini meal. It sounds like a kid's menu on McDonald's. That's what it sounds like. Does it come with a toy? Do I get a present? Do I get a surprise? 54% of respondents who were on these drugs were dining out far less than before. Morgan Stanley found out that 2/3 of weight loss drug users were eating out less. It used to be the ladies who ate like birds, said Dana Gunders, president of ReFed, an organization that works to address food waste. Now you have a whole new market segment that wants smaller portions actively. I think restaurants that see that as an opportunity and feed that group are going to have a competitive advantage. Probably, until it turns out that these weight loss drugs all turn us into zombies. There's no freaking way these things, it's too good to be true. Come on, you just inject something and you lose weight? Doesn't that sound like it's too good to be true?
I feel like there's got to be a downside. I agree with you. It can't all be roses. You lose weight, add 3 years to your life expectancy, or what was I don't know, seems too good.
Too good to be true. And my grandmother used to always say that if something sounds too good to be true in life, it probably is. And I know a lot of people who are on these drugs and they've lost weight and they feel great and they look good. But all I keep thinking is, when you turn into a zombie, are you going to be ripping the flesh out of my neck, or is that somebody else?
Won't be hungry.
Well, that's a good point. But then what if that's what happens? They turn into a zombie and then suddenly now they have an uncontrollable appetite. Because they've been eating on the teeny weeny mini meal menu for all these years.
I feel like the pharmaceutical companies would be able to spin that. Like, oh, you go on this drug, you turn into a zombie, but your life expectancy is going to shoot through the roof. Like, nothing, you're just never going to perish.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just be an immortal zombie. Nothing can kill you. They have happy hours now at the Moxie Hotel in Chelsea, New York. They offer a mini martini hour where drinkers can sip a smaller cocktail for $9. I think probably that's not a bad idea, maybe having smaller cocktails anyway, just in general. But, and again, if it's a smaller cocktail but you drink four of them, it probably defeats the purpose, you know? I'll have another mini martini, please. That's six. I know, but it only adds up to three. Like, what? Like, you're a drunk. The use of weight loss drugs is rising and is having an impact on people's consumption habits. Many food service players are catching on to this and are looking at reconfiguring menus, including offering smaller portions. Of course, this upends an industry that is used to people giving is trying to get diners to trade up to large portions. So they're probably going to have to look at the economics of such changes. I have a colleague who has a couple of friends who are on Ozempic, and she said that they eat out while they're together. They definitely have shrunk down, so sometimes they are just going out for smaller dishes, and so maybe they'll just have like an appetizer or two and some drinks. Well, here's what I would say for one thing. I'd say make sure you still tip as if you're ordering. You're taking up a table, and your bill's $30. when it would normally be $100, you should still tip like that. Don't chintz the server just because you're eating less or ordering less. Smoothie King became the first fast food chain to offer a GLP-1 menu for customers on drugs like Ozempic. They have a whole menu for that. And I guess this is catching on now where other menus are going to do that too. That probably makes sense. I mean, I don't know. Something probably just sounds too good to be true about this. You know what I mean? So at some point, something's going to catch up to us. Didn't they have those fat? Remember the those potato chips they had years ago? They were fried in Olestra. Do you remember that? And everybody got the runs. They were the It was this miracle oil that you could eat potato chips and you wouldn't gain weight or something like that. It was something like that again. And then they pulled it off the market because everybody was getting the runs. Olestra, I believe, was the oil. And they would have all these potato chips out, and they were like, now made in Olean. And then people had to run to the bathroom.
I think you're right. It looks like it's Wow Chips. They were fried in Olestra, which caused a whole bunch of gastrointestinal issues, it looks like. I won't read them on air, but they're grisly.
Grizzly. And no, they don't do it anymore, right? They pulled that. It's gone.
Yeah, the FDA slapped a warning label on them, and that was it.
Warning: this product, while tasty and delicious,
one of the symptoms is so bad I don't even know if I can read it on air.
Oh, come on, you have to now. It's like when somebody says, oh, I got something. I can't tell you. You can't. You have to tell us now.
Also, I don't know if I want audio of me saying this.
Justin, hit the record button, please.
It's leakage from a certain area.
Leakage. I think we know the area. We think we know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yes, leakage could be a problem. But boy, are these chips tasty. Am I right? Mmm, delicious. Well, we shall see. You see Bobby Kennedy working out? Man, that guy's jacked. What is he like? He's 70-something years old, right? He's ripped.
Yeah.
Dude is a beast. He's definitely not eating Olestra. What's that?
71.
Yeah, 71.
Man, he's ripped. I'll tell you what. That guy, he's ripped, but he's all about Maha. I don't think he would approve of these shots. I think he just wants you to get healthy on your own. I don't know, but we'll see. He hasn't really commented on them, I don't think. Surprised. Figured he'd be saying something about them by now. But there is a person who definitely needs to look into at least trying Ozempic, and that's Rosie O'Donnell. Now, let's play cut 27, and then I'm just wondering what happens after we play this. So take a listen.
Black out the system. Black out the system.
Did we just unleash a cyber attack, Matt DeSantis? Justin, what have you done? What have you done, Justin?
You said play the thing, so I played the thing.
Yeah, but I think you just woke up Skynet. I think that was the cue.
Chat GPT version 5 came out, and Rosie O'Donnell's the activation.
Now the machines officially start turning on us. Oh, speaking of that, we have this clip. I meant to get to it last week. This guy was talking about AI and how AI is now blackmailing people for self-preservation. I'll play this on the other side. But that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man. He's the guy who's going to give you a beautiful smile. So go see Dr. Mike today and get that smile that you deserve, okay? Because you deserve a beautiful, beautiful smile. And I want to tell you about the specials at Tri-County Auto. I love the people at Tri-County Auto. They're fantastic people. And here are their new Toyota and Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram offers for the month of August. For Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, come to Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram for the Make This Summer event. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4XE for only $349 a month for 36 months. Or check out a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited. You lease that for only $329 a month for 36 months. Hurry in. These offers won't last long. And you know, in the One Big Beautiful Bill, if you buy a car that's been made in America, you get to deduct that off your taxes. I have a Jeep. I drive a Jeep Wrangler. I love it. I really do. I love it, especially on these sunny days. And taking the top off is fantastic. So and the Jeep brand, people love the Jeep. I mean, the Jeep Wrangler Sport, the 4XE, people love that. And they love the Jeep Compass, too. Now, Tri-County also has Toyota. More and more Toyotas are now being made in America. Toyota's making a big investment in our country. You can get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota right now during the national sales event. Lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 for just $259 a month for 36 months. Or buy and get rates as low as 3.75 for 48 months. That's really low. Or check out the new 2025 Grand Highlander Hybrid and lease for $459 a month for 36 months or finance at 5.99% for 60 months. Look, it's all about the people and the wonderful, wonderful specials at Tri-County. It's worth the trip and easy to get to right off of 422 in Limerick, King of Prussia, Collegeville, right there. And great people who care about you and will take great care of you. Brian and Cheryl Krieger, my dear friends, everybody there, wonderful people. They love us. They love our show. And they are, Tri-County Auto is our official car sponsor for the show. We're so honored by that fact. They give back to the community, give back to our veterans. And these are great deals and great incentives. So go say hello and see them today. Go to tricounty.com. Tricounty.com. See all their inventory and the specials and all the financing offers available as well. Tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's a Terminator theme for those of you that are watching on YouTube. We think Rosie O'Donnell just called up Skynet. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here today. 855-839-1210 is the number. We'll have Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center joining us. And Gerald Posner, because there's a story about money laundering at the Vatican. Shocking, I know. Such a thing could be taking place. Or as Michael Pelka, our buddy Stuntbrain, put it in his show prep today. What's next? Gambling in Casablanca? That was pretty funny. The Sunday shows, some of these politicians got killed on the Sunday shows. It was great. Very, very funny to listen to. And we'll talk about that throughout. But what I just wanted to share this with you. This is New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who was on with Shannon Bream. And she had no real retort when confronted with the fact that a Democrat-dominated court of appeals declared that the New York legislature did not follow the law with redistricting in New York State 3 years ago. Oof, cut 13.
Here's how National Review summarized it. They said it was only 3 years ago that New York's Democratic legislature drew up a map so brazenly contemptuous of basic rules that govern a district's contiguousness that the state's Democrat-dominated Court of Appeals threw it out. The New York Times at the time called those maps comically contorted. That's their quote. So your state's highest court at the time, all the judges appointed by Democratic governors, they threw the maps out. So fair to say Democrats have done what they're now accusing Republicans of doing.
No, we followed the rules. We do it every 10 years. We base it on census.
But the court said you didn't follow the rules.
Well, we did follow the rules.
So the court was wrong?
Well.
And then speaking of people that need weight loss drugs, the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, got cooked. I can't imagine what that rotisserie would look like. That would have to be huge. But anyway, he got cooked on Meet the Press for gerrymandering Illinois. This is Cut 15, Kristen Welker doing her job for once. Very nice. Cut 15.
I do want to look at the map of Illinois. Let's take a look at this. Despite President Trump winning 44% of the statewide vote in 2024, Republicans hold only three of Illinois' 17 districts. These districts seem to be designed to maximize Democratic advantage. What do you say to those who argue that it's hypocritical for you to criticize Texas for partisanship when your state also drew maps to boost your party's standing?
Well, remember that what Texas is trying to do is, again, violate the Voting Rights Act. We didn't. We held public hearings, legislative hearings. People attended them. They spoke out. There was a map that was put out. There were actually changes made to the map. And a map was passed. And it was done at the end of the census, the decennial census. So that's how it's done in this country. You talked about how rare it is to do what he's doing. Yes, it is. What's even rarer is to do it at the behest of the President of the United States, who's clearly attempting to and says that he deserves to have five more seats. He's wrong.
Well, J.D. Vance says he's not wrong. And he talked about this with Maria Bartiromo about the issue of how many seats blue states like California have because they counted illegal aliens. Cut 12.
And the other thing that we talked about, and I didn't even realize this, Maria, until a couple of years ago, that you know for apportioning representatives, you actually count illegal aliens. So even though illegal aliens theoretically are not supposed to vote, we know sometimes they do, you still count illegal aliens for congressional apportionment. So California has way more House seats than it should because they have such a high population of illegal aliens. So they get rewarded for welcoming illegal aliens into their state, giving them federal benefits, actually asking the taxpayers of states like Ohio to subsidize them. And then those same taxpayers in Ohio and Indiana and elsewhere, they have fewer congressional representatives because of what California has allowed to happen. That's ridiculously unfair. And the only real way to fight back against it is for us to redistrict in some ways as aggressively as these hard blue states have done.
We'll talk more about this in the 5 o'clock hour. We got a lot to get to, and we're only halfway there. But I want to remind you, next Friday, this coming Friday, the 15th. So this Friday, I'm working and live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.